Hey, parents. Welcome back to Minnesota Nice Investor Goes to College. We're your host, Mark Struthers, a certified financial planner, a chartered financial analyst, and founder of Sona Wealth, helps you balance preparing for college and retirement. Let's continue our college funding journey.
Welcome, parents. Welcome to another episode of Minnesota Nice Investor Goes to College, where we help you down your college funding journey with a financial planning perspective. With clarity and confidence around your goals, you can live for today without worrying about tomorrow. Last week, we talked retirement with Denise Downey. That was a great conversation. Now we're going back to college, our other main topic. And our next guest has a long and distinguished, for someone her age, a very long and distinguished career. She has a master's at Tufts University. She worked as a financial aid officer and financial aid director, assistant director at both Boston University and Tufts. For almost 10 years, and she has spent almost 11 as a college coach with Bright Horizons. She is certainly well qualified to help you down your college funding journey, and she's going to share some tips today as to how to save money for college, which we all know is very valuable given it's probably our second largest expense, and hopefully it never passes our home, but it certainly is getting going down that path. Welcome, Shannon. And I'm going to try to pronounce your last name, and please correct me if I'm wrong. Vasconcelos?
Pretty close. Vasconcelos.
Vasconcelos. Okay.
Yeah. Close enough. I answer to anything. No one ever gets it right.
I tell you, I came as close as I could, I think. But thank you for joining us.
Oh, you're so welcome. Glad to be here.
I always have to ask probably the two most important questions is one, do you have a dad or kid joke? And how is your March Madness bracket doing?
Oh my goodness. So I have no bracket I'm going to really disappoint your listeners, but college basketball is not my thing.
Not your thing. Okay.
Sadly enough, I know I'm more of a football fan.
Okay. But with all the upsets, it's probably for the best.
Yes. Yes. I've heard things are crazy this year. But in terms of, I have the worst kid joke ever that everyone has ever heard, but my elementary schoolers think it's hilarious. And since we're talking money and numbers, Mark, why is 6 afraid of 7?
I don't know.
Because 7, 8, 9.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's beautiful. That's we call them dad jokes, but you don't have to be a dad to have a dad joke. So a kid joke, that's
you just
fantastic.
Lost all of your listeners, Mark. I'm so sorry about that.
they're pounding on the dash of their car trying to hit the pause button. No, that was beautiful. So before we get started, can you tell us a little bit about where you work, where you reside of, family? I heard you mention you had kids.
Yeah, so I work I live and work outside of Boston. I have a husband, Dan, and two kids, Grayson and Zachary, who are 7 and 5, almost 6. Zach has a birthday coming up.
Oh, great.
Yeah. And I work for Bright Horizons College Coach. And what we do is sort of comprehensive college counseling, largely as an employee benefit. Employers hire us to provide counseling to their employees. And we really try and kind of stick with employees and employees throughout their kind of life cycle. So I talk with parents of young kids about saving for college. And then as they progress through the years and they get into high school, that's when we start talking about applying for financial aid and scholarships and how to actually put the puzzle pieces together to pay for college. And then on the back end, we also talk to employees and their children about repaying student loans and starting to manage your finances as a young adult. So we really kind of track along with folks this whole kind of educational journey from birth to they get kind of launched on their own career.
Oh, wow. Amazing. Yeah, I did not know that. I work in employees. You probably don't remember. I work with employee wellness as well.
Perfect. Part
wealth management. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Amazing. So you get to know some of these employees pretty well and, you know, they're.
We do. Yeah. So it is a really fun experience to work with families kind of across the board at all different levels of their company. all different kind of life stages. It is really fun. And we also do have a private consulting service as well. So if families, your listeners, if they don't get a nice Bright Horizons College Coach benefit through their employer, they can come right to us directly. Yeah.
And that's, they can just Google Bright Horizons College Coaching?
Getintocollege.com is our direct website. Yes.
Okay, great. Yeah, it's really nice when the employer pays for that, because that way you can
very
work
nice.
With folks from all income levels.
It's, exactly right. Yes.
What made you get into college coaching?
Well, I worked, as you said in my little introduction, I worked in college financial aid offices for a number of years, which was fun and rewarding. But I did find what I didn't love about working at a college was that my loyalties were often sort of torn, because while I certainly wanted to help the families that I was working with afford the schools where I worked, part of my priorities, a large part, was actually looking after the school's money and focusing on the college's priorities, whereas what I was more interested in was helping families directly. So I found this great opportunity with Bright Horizons, where I got to work solely for the benefit of families, and I didn't have to worry about the college's money. That wasn't my problem anymore.
In my world, we call that being a fiduciary, and we have the same thing. Instead of having to sell annuities, we want to act in the client's best interest. It's the reason people like me often start our own firms. Wonderful.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yes, that's a beautiful thing. Well, parents are tuning in because they have been teased that you can save them money on their college tuition.
I will try. I will do my best.
How can they do that? What is your secret?
Well, I don't have any secrets, and I'll tell folks, if somebody is advertising to you that they have the magic formula to get lots of money for college, I would look at them very suspiciously. but I would say, there's lots of ways to get money for college. There's certainly the need-based financial aid that you apply for during senior year of high school. I think a major source of, getting a discount on college is through merit aid. The basic strategy there is to apply to some colleges where you are overqualified, where you're going to be a standout student, you're above average, and those colleges will really want you, and they will throw money at you to try to get you there. So that's a big thing that often is kind of overlooked by families or misunderstood. They look at scholarships as sort of a reward for, a job well done. From the college's perspective, scholarships aren't really a reward. They're a recruitment tool. They're an enticement. So you want to make sure that you're applying to some colleges where you're the type of student that they're going to want to recruit.
And they're willing to pay for it.
Exactly right. Yes.
Now, this time of year, when do they start finding out how badly these colleges want them?
Yeah, so they're finding out right about now. They started finding out, I would say probably, this is all happening during senior year of high school. You're applying generally during the fall semester of senior year. You start receiving notifications. If you applied through an early action or early decision process, you probably started finding out in December. Right about now, March into the beginning of April is when most regular decision acceptance offers, as well as financial aid and scholarship offers, are going out. So it's right about now we're in the thick of it. Families of seniors in high school are finding out right now where they've been accepted and what kind of money they're being offered.
And what if they get that offer, but they don't care for it? Is there anything they can do about it?
That never happens, Mark. What are you talking about? That almost always happens. And yes, there are definitely things you can do about it. I recommend nearly across the board, never take a college's first offer. Always go back and ask for more. There's really no reason not to. Nothing bad will ever come of it. Whenever I talk to parents about this, they get really excited about the idea of going back and negotiating. Students tend to get very nervous and say, don't do that, mom or dad. They're going to take away my acceptance. They're going to take away this money they already gave me. They never are going to do that. There's nothing to worry about. the worst that will happen is they'll say no. And that does happen sometime, but you know, you didn't lose anything. You lost, you know, the 15 minutes it took you to type up an email to the school's admissions office. But very often they say yes. And I would say there's a couple different ways you can go back to the school. One is to what they usually call appeal a need-based financial aid offer. So if you have had a change in financial circumstances since the information you reported on the financial aid applications, which tends to be very outdated for current high school seniors who are applying to start college in 2021, they were looking at 2019 income on the financial aid application. Obviously, a whole lot happened in 2020 that really changed a whole lot of people's financial circumstances. Yeah, ringing some bells. Some
what was that? It's vaguely coming in the focus.
Yeah, but sadly, it really hurt a lot of people's financial circumstances. Lots of people lost jobs, lots of small businesses closed. So a lot of people's financial situation looks nothing like it did in 2019. So if you have experienced a change in financial circumstances or have something going on in your finances that wasn't really reflected on your FAFSA financial aid application, you should absolutely write to the financial aid offices, explain what happened, explain your special circumstances, document everything, document, you know, the change in income or whatever it was. Some people have high medical expenses. It can be, you know, had increased child care costs, you know, a lot of things could have happened.
Parent care, yeah.
Yes, exactly. Parents, yeah. All of that, yeah. So you'd want to write to the financial aid office, document the change in circumstances, ask them to reconsider a financial aid offer based on your change in circumstances. So that's the need-based aid, what we generally call a financial aid appeal. Then the other way to go back and ask for more money doesn't require any kind of change in circumstances, but you just want some more money. Maybe you got some better offers from some other schools that might be tempting to you. You can go back to, you know, the college that you'd prefer to attend and say, you know, thank you for accepting me. Thank you for whatever lovely scholarship offer they've awarded you thus far. But explain, you know, while you'd love to attend that school, you've got this other great offer that's really hard to turn down. Is there anything else that they could do to make your attendance more feasible? So that's more like a straight negotiation where you don't have to have had any kind of negative financial circumstances. You've just got better offers. You can go back to the school's admissions office. Again, I generally recommend documenting those offers so they know you're not bluffing and just make it clear you'd love to attend their school, but the finances are the one thing that's holding you back. And do they have any more money to offer you?
Do you actually show them the other offers that you have, or do you just tell them about it?
I tend to recommend that. It's not, you know, an absolute requirement. I think it's makes things kind of easiest and quickest to just lay it all out there. If you don't show them the other offer or offers up front, just be prepared that they do often ask for it. So if you were thinking of bluffing, know that you may be called on it.
Well, here in Minnesota and Midwest, we're too afraid to negotiate, much less bluff. It almost sounds like you're like on a car lot.
Yes, that is 100% exactly what it is. I would recommend not calling it a negotiation. I will tell you that the colleges hate that analogy to a used car lot. They like
really.
In general, kind of consider themselves, they're a little snootier, they're above that.
So no inflatable gorilla or the wavy arm guy.
Right.
Nothing like that. Yeah.
Exactly. They don't like that image.
That image.
So that's why, you know, I tend to, you know, say, don't say, you know, hey, can I negotiate for some more money? Don't, you know, phrase it more as, you know, are there any more funds available? Are there any additional scholarships I could apply for? I definitely recommend personalizing this request a little bit to any schools you're negotiating with. You know, don't let it come off like a form letter that you're sending to, you know, 10 okay. different schools to see who's going to give you the best deal. You want to personalize it directly to the school, let them know that, you know, you are really interested in their school. You're almost there, willing to commit. It's just the money that's holding you back. That tends to go over better if they think you're really serious about the school.
Oh, okay. Anything else that they should put in the letter? Anything other tips or anything that that they can, I guess it's almost like a sales negotiation. I don't know what to call it, but anything else to put in there?
I think the other, I guess maybe a couple of things that I would note. One would be to, if you have any new information that you haven't shared with the school yet, like your most recent semester grades came in and those are really good. If not a lot of testing going on nowadays, but if you did, you know, were able to take the SATs again and you got a higher score, let them know that. If you won any new awards, something like that, any new information, you don't have to, you know, retell them your whole life story and about how great you are. You know, they have all of the initial information from your admissions application. But if there's any new information, sometimes schools are just kind of looking for an excuse to increase an offer. And if you can give them a new piece of information that they can kind of hang their hat on, that would be a good thing to do. And then just the other thing I would say about it, in terms of what to put in the letter, I guess something I would recommend against in general is kind of asking for the world. You don't want to come off as kind of, you know, this, maybe the school that you want to go to gave you no scholarship money at all. And this other college gave you, you know, $50,000 a year. You don't want to demand that one school meet this other school's, you know, gigantic offer. Because just honestly, it's probably not going to happen. The increases we see based on a negotiation tend to be more modest amounts of money. And when a school gets a request like that, you know, it comes off as too demanding, or they think you're just really not, you know, they don't have the money to make up that kind of difference. It's just, they may just then kind of throw the request in the garbage, you know, at that point, like we can't get anywhere close. Let's not even, you know, there's nothing we can do for them. Whereas if you make it clear that, you know, may a small amount of give on the school's end is going to make a big difference to your enrollment decision, that's when I see schools being most willing to work with you.
Any rules of thumb on percentages? You know, if in your example, say one school, maybe not your dream school, was 50,000, this one had zero. Where do you usually come in? Is there any way that they could kind of get an idea of what they should come back at without offending them?
Right. You know, I'd say you can, well, a couple different ways you can go about it. You can just be very vague and just say, you know, is there any, you know, I understand that, you know, you may not be able to meet this offer, but, you know, is there any funding you have that might bridge the gap a bit? You can also, and this I think tends to work well, if you can just be very honest and say, look, you know, I'm coming in, you know, we've got a $20,000 gap there. I know I've got savings that I can fill in X amount, and my child can borrow a student loan for this amount, and we're just finding ourselves a little bit short. Is there any funding that you may have to fill that gap? That can be helpful. If you really just spell it out, showing them that you're really willing to do your part and you're not looking for, you know, a giant increase, that can be helpful. I will tell you from what we've seen, so people, you know, just kind of have realistic expectations. This past year, we sort of do very unscientific study in terms of the folks that we talk to about negotiation and following up with them after the fact and seeing how well they did. We found that the average increase this past year was about $5,000. And that's actually not $5,000 typically a year. And that is actually a little higher than what we've seen in the past with when the pandemic hit, the schools got very anxious about enrolling their classes. They became a little bit more generous.
More flexible.
Exactly right. So that's what we saw this past year. So, you know, so I would go in with sort of realistic expectations that what you are likely to see if a school does increase an offer, which again, they don't always do, they may just say no, but when they say yes, it's maybe 3, 4, 5, 6, 7,000 in that kind of ballpark. Typically, there are outliers. The biggest increase we saw last year was $25,000 a year. We do not see those per year.
Wow.
Yeah, we do not. So we do not see those very often.
So too late. My hopes are already up. I have a sophomore, and I'm going to expect that in a couple.
Right.
Beautiful. We're almost out of time. Is there one common mistake you see parents make in general?
I would say that the most common mistake is to just not try, to not even think about it, just to the thinking that the price is the price. There's very often more flexibility than that. And certainly actually even kind of upfront further in the process, there's a whole lot of people who look at the sticker price of college and assume that's what they will have to pay, when the reality is almost no one pays full sticker price. It's some ridiculous numbers. I think at public colleges, it's over 70% of students receive some discount off of the sticker price. At private colleges, it's close to 90% of students are not paying full sticker price. And the average discount at private colleges is kind of off the charts. It's greater than 50% these days. So when you see those huge, gigantic sticker prices, which are outrageous, understand that it's not likely that you will be asked to pay that much, at least not everywhere. There will be many, many, many colleges that are willing to give you a discount. And again, it's designing that list properly, where you apply to some schools, where you're going to stand out, where they're going to be more likely to offer you a discount. So that's sort of a misunderstanding kind of up front that the sticker price of this is the price, where it usually isn't. And then even once you get a financial aid or a scholarship offer, that's the final price. That is often not the case either. So it never, ever hurts to go back and ask for more money. Again, they don't say no, they don't say yes all the time, but at least go back and try. And again, very often you'll see an increase. So never be afraid to try.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I honestly did not know you could negotiate. And like I said, most people don't realize. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess I would also have the fear that, as a student does, that they would rescind the offer, but it sounds like all I can say is no, but they're not going to say no, and we don't want you anymore.
No. I mean, as long as you're halfway polite in your request, I would not recommend cursing the school out in your negotiation email.
Wait a second. I need to write that down for my son.
No, I know that's your go-to, Mark.
No profanity.
Exactly.
Listeners probably don't know, but Shan and I were on a savingforcollege.com webinar that I think is still out there with Gene Chasky.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
And I don't think I swore there. I probably,
I think you controlled yourself.
Which is unusual. It's unusual. We have a lot of bleeps. I guess. All right. Well, listen, we're out of time. I really appreciate your time, Shannon. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're so welcome. It's my pleasure.
And thank you, parents. Thank you for spending time with me. Thank you for sharing your college funding journey with me. Until next time.